Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You ready to figure out what's wrong with the Celtics?
I'm trying my best, Jones. We've been doing this off and on for a month straight. Just when you thought they had it figured out, they go out and have a game like last night. They have been pretty consistent with that, though, all season long. All month long.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they would win, they would blow somebody out, and you're like, all right, they're good now, they're fine. And then there's one of these.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, they'll win the next game. I'll tell you right now, they'll win the next game. Everybody, like, ah, see, they're fine. And then they've just been like ping-ponging wins and losses. Maybe they'll win two in a row. They're not going to lose two in a row, but they're going to drop games all the time. Maybe you think so? I mean, I don't know. Like, that's just what they've been doing. They're 11-10 in their last 21 games. And you want the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department stat of the day?
Get right into it. Why wait?
The last night's loss, the Celtics dropped to 32-15 on the season. Fourth best record in the NBA.
Behind now the Houston Rockets, who beat them.
Ime Udoka's Rockets. The face of the Rockets, Ime Udoka. Last year, when they had 15 losses, they were 57-15. So 32-15 versus 57-15. So I understand being like, all right, this team has won a title, and this team, you put them in a series, and how's that going to go, and blah, blah, blah. But like, how many games can they lose until you say, all right, something's up.
Well,
you and I have been saying something's up now for a little while.
I think Wiggy needs the team to be eliminated before he starts freaking out. From what I heard, I think Wiggy needs them knocked out before he's even mildly concerned. Yeah.
Me and him were just talking about movies for five straight minutes, but I wanted to ask him if, hypothetically, if they lost out, would he change his mind? Would he be like, oh, they're not going to win the whole thing?
Oh, if they lost the rest of the season. He'd be like, I'm a little concerned.
And he's like, they finished the year, you know, under 500. Yeah. Would he change his tune? I don't think so. I think he's so dug in.
Greg did get him to at least acknowledge he thought they would be better at this point. Which, let's just start there.
Okay.
For all the Celtics fans out there, and you can jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Are you concerned about the Celtics? Big picture, not just their loss last night. We'll get into the loss and dissect it and who to blame and all of this. But they lose 114-112 to Ime Udoka and the Houston Rockets. They now have the fourth best record in the NBA. Phone number, same as the text line. Again, 617-779-7937. Open all day long for you. On Twitter, at Jones and Keefe, and on Instagram. You can watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Also chat there, always a healthy conversation going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Are you at least willing to acknowledge the team isn't where you expected it to be at this point in time? I know you feel that way.
Yeah, of course, you have to be.
But for a Celtics, let's all just acknowledge and get in the trust tree.
Yep.
The team not where you thought it would be at this point in time. I did not hear all offseason, well, yeah, they're going to have the fourth best record right around the All-Star break. Well, yeah, they'll be worse than the Cavs.
They'll be worse than the Rockets.
The Knicks will only be one game behind them. The Rockets. They'll get pants by Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So you can tell me you think they'll still win the championship and they're still the most talented team, maybe even the best team in the league. But can we all just acknowledge and agree the team is not right now, January 28th, where we expected it to be? If we could all just start there, then I think we can have a real conversation about the team.
Yeah, for real. I mean, no, I didn't think they were going to go 82-0. I didn't think they were going to have an NBA record 74 wins in the regular season. Did I think they might have a Celtics team record, 67 or 68 wins, somewhere there? Yeah, I did. And now, if they're going to win, what would it be, 67 games, which would be one game better than the 08 Kevin Garnett Celtics, they would have to win the rest of the games. They'd have to win out right now. Like, they already have 15 losses, and we're not even into February yet. And I keep going back to the way in which they've lost games and the variety of teams they've lost. And, you know, you lose a few games here and there, and you think it'd be on your radar. Be like, all right, let's, you know, stop the bad habits and turn things around. But they've lost the good teams. They've lost the bad teams. They've lost these close games. And what's really killed them is they've lost a lot of games in which they've had fourth quarter leads, double-digit fourth-quarter leads, like last night.
You want the numbers?
Yeah, sure. Give me some numbers.
Forsberg is from the Chris Forsberg Stats and Information Department.
Also a good Stats and Info Department.
I don't have my own Stats and Info
Department.
You got to
get in there.
We got to have a little bit more in the budget for that. Celtics, 9th blown fourth quarter lead this year, which matches last season's total. So already they've blown as many games
so
in the fourth
that.
Quarter as they did all of last year.
So yeah, so there's a lot of those kind of stats. So they've lost more home games than they did all of last year.
Yep.
I don't think they haven't had a month this bad as they did all of last year. We went through it. Remember, because people are like, everybody has a bad month. We went through the numbers. Last year, every month, they like at least doubled the wins over their losses.
If
sometimes
I remember,
even better.
Off the top of my head, yeah. I think their worst month a year ago,
it
was
12-6.
It was January, but yeah. It was something like 11-5, 12-6. They still won 2/3 of their game.
Yeah, no, but that's pretty alarming. So they've lost 15 games,
yep.
And more than half of them, they've had a lead in the fourth quarter.
Okay, now.
Which they've blown.
Now, that can be a bit misleading. A fourth quarter lead could be a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter, okay? So.
Yeah, but okay, fine.
But here's a second stat.
Uh-oh.
It's the 7th time. They've blown a 10-plus point lead this season.
So half of their losses, they were up 10 or more in the fourth quarter.
Yep. They had 8 all of last year. So they're one away from matching that. They've already matched as many fourth quarter blown leads as they had all of last year. They've already lost more games at home than they did a year ago. I just did the math. They're trending for low 50s in wins. They were projected before the year for high 50s. They won 64 a year ago. I thought they could win more than last year's team. Certainly in the 60s. Best team in the Eastern Conference. They have the 4th best record in the league. They're losing to Ime Udoka and the Rockets.
Shouldn't they be
they're
better?
They're number 2 in the East.
They were
500.
Year?
Yes.
They should be better.
Yes.
They've had guys, I guess, in and out of the lineup, but that's also the nature of the NBA. You know, at the end of the year, you can probably count on one hand how many guys played 82 games. So that's par for the course. Even when they're down a guy or two, they have more talent than the other team. So last night, not an excuse, but the facts. Al Horford late scratch, no Derek White, no Sam Hauser. All right. You're down 3 of your 8-man rotation. Do the Houston Rockets have a guy that's going to make the All-Star team? Do the Houston Rockets have a guy that is close to making the All-Star team?
I would have said before we talked about this with Turk before the show, maybe Sengun, but apparently not. No.
No, I don't think that they do. And that's why there's another whole side topic about how good of a coach Ime Udoka is and he's getting the most out of that team and everything else. But you still have Tatum and Brown. Like you have the two best players on the court, let alone other guys. Like Porzingis is playing, Drew Holiday's playing. You have more than enough at home to beat the Rockets. That's the other thing I don't like about this team, and I think should be at least cause for mild concern. They're not a badass home team. I like that. Like that is usually a good sign when a team comes in there and you're like, all right, now you have home court advantage. Like you're going to win a game 7 in Boston. Like good luck. It's like, well, that game 7 might not even be in Boston the way they're trending right now. Like if you play Cleveland or OKC or something,
it might be in Cleveland.
It would be somewhere else. Yeah. But also, it wouldn't even really matter. Like, it's not a scary place to go play. And it's got nothing to do with the crowd. The crowd's always into it. The crowd's always going bonkers. But they just don't really have that kind of thing that other great teams have.
Let me tell you the other issue with how they're playing is that Cleveland really hasn't been great lately. Cleveland's 5-5 over their last 10.
Houston knocked them off recently, right?
Houston won back-to-back games against them. They won a home and home. So Cleveland's fallen off. You're making up no ground because you're also pedaling in place. You're not going
5.5 behind Cleveland and 1 up on the Knicks.
So
who started really slow.
Let's just start with that, Celtics fans out there, and tell me if you can agree. 617-779-7937. You thought the team would be better than they have been at this point in the season. January 28th, we thought they'd be better than 2nd in the East, 4th best record in the NBA, playing 500 basketball over their last 21 games, 11-10, losing to Ime Udoka. We all thought that. Let's start there, and then we can get into how concerned we are big picture about this team. So you can jump in on the phones. Lines are open for you. We'll get to you there. Specific to last night, Keith, what was the problem?
Tatum, I think, was one of the big problems in the game. You know, he was not engaged or aggressive at all in the first half. Didn't score in the first half.
He had no points in the first half. He only took 5 field goal attempts. He had a very good third quarter.
So he's 0 for 5. And yeah, he turned it on a little bit in the third quarter. But I don't know if last night's the night to be as passive if you're Tatum. I think you need to be much more aggressive. On a night where Derek White, Sam Hauser, and Al Horford aren't playing, like how many shot attempts do those three guys average on a given night? And you take all of them out. Do I want way more Luke Kornet shots? Although he was effective because he was like around the hoop. But do you want a lot more like... There was a possession where, you know, close game. It was close for most of it. And Tatum had the ball. And yeah, they flash up on NBC Boston, something like Celtics scoreless the last 3.5 minutes or whatever it was. They were in like a scoring drought. And Tatum is dribbling around, doesn't settle for a three, gets into the paint, kicks it out for a Xavier Tillman three.
Yeah.
And you're like, the hell? You're like, that's how is that the possession? Like, I get it. Missoula loves threes. You love open threes. An open three can be a good shot. But like a Xavier Tillman, like a foot behind the line on the wing, I'm like, that's the last shot I would want. Especially yeah. when you're in a rut like they were.
Tatum, take a bucket.
Yeah, like Tatum needed to be more aggressive, I think. You know, he needed to score more in that game. He ended up with 19 points, all of it in the second half. He couldn't hit any of his threes. He did get to the line a little bit. But, no, the way things were going, I feel like we've said this before in games that they have lost, but Tatum needs to realize he is, in fact, the best player on the court and take over.
Thank you. Like, I agree with you 1,000,000%. So Tatum had no points in the first half. He did have 5 assists, if you want to throw a parade for him. I know people, saying he didn't do anything in the first half? He had 5 assists.
Could have had 6 if Tillman hit that 3.
Yeah. No, that's that's how we talk about every star player in the league when they go scoreless for a half. We go, well, they had some assists.
No.
Yeah, that's how we talk about, you know, LeBron and SGA and Jokic and everybody else. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. So, you know, number one, way too passive. 5 field goal attempts. He had 15 points in the third quarter, which to me infuriates me even more. It's like, oh, so you do have it in you. You just chose not to in the first half. He only scored 4 in the fourth quarter. They were big buckets, though. In fairness to Tatum,
yeah,
they were big buckets down the stretch the team needed. I think it starts with him. It was the first game back from a 4-game West Coast trip, which I thought was underwhelming. They went 3-4 on it, but I thought it was an underwhelming trip. So it's the first game back. There will be a lag with the team. As you said, guys were out. Horford was a late scratch. Derek White out of the lineup. Hauser, whatever. You know, you're losing your 8th guy. I'm not going to cry about it. But you're shorthanded in your rotation, which is why Tillman's even out there. You need Tatum to start the game quickly. You need him to start engaged.
Yeah, get it going.
And so I view it the same way. I would allow for, though, Keith. Ime Udoka also just had a plan for him and knows how to get in his head or get him out of his comfort zone. I'd allow for Udoka had a scheme for him if you want to go there. But I think it's exactly what you said. I think the team was flat coming back from a road trip, and the guy that's supposed to pick you up is your best player. He didn't. You let the Rockets in the game.
Yeah.
You let Dylan Brooks get hot.
Oh, my God, Dylan Brooks.
And
threes for Dylan Brooks?
I think the way they defended Dylan Brooks starts with Tatum not being engaged. I think it starts with that. When your superstar is not engaged, you go, I'll get to that guy on the wing. He's not going to keep making threes, and I think that permeates the entire team. So I 1,000% think it starts with Tatum. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I know part of it might have been, hey, let's try to limit Jalen Green, and he ended up leaving the game, coming back. So he played 29, 30 minutes, so not maybe as many minutes as he normally would, and they did a good job on Green. But then Brooks and Thompson kill him. Like, those guys were insane, including the last shot of the game. Also, it seemed like Joe Mazzulla. Now, I put more of this on Tatum than Mazzulla, but let me point out Mazzulla. It feels like, was he not prepared for Al Horford not to play, like, at all? Like, couldn't in the back of his mind he had to, because it seemed like he was throwing all kinds of weird lineups out there. Lineups that we never, like, he was almost like grasping at straw type.
From
lineups.
What I read, maybe we can check in with Terp about this, but from what I read, I do think they were a little blindsided by Horford being out of the lineup.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, I understand he was a late scratch.
But you should have a plan.
So like 50-year-old Al Horford can't go tonight? Like, maybe be ready to go with somebody else.
Well, exactly. It's not like a guy who does, how many games does Horford have the night off? It's not like you shouldn't be used to
it. It seemed very random, some of the guys he was kind of throwing out there, at least together, and, you know, last-minute stuff.
The Drew Peterson and Jaden Springer lineup, that was a random lineup to you?
I think I watched that documentary. Yeah, there was a lot
I don't enjoy his work on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. Yeah. I really don't.
No, but it was wild. I mean, they dug into the bench. I mean, it was, another Jaden Springer game. But, yeah, just throwing different pieces out there. Tillman, Jordan Walsh, et cetera, et cetera. But, once again, another reason why Tatum needs to be more aggressive, more assertive. Like, he has to be.
Yeah, so, to me, I think that's where it starts. How much of it do you put on Mazzulla?
Like, as much as you can put on a coach, like, I'm not going to completely overstate things because it's the NBA. The coach is there to sort of balance egos and that kind of thing. Maybe the occasional out-of-bounds play. But I don't think he's the biggest problem. I think we go back to the question we had a week ago. Like, he may not be the problem, but, like, is he the right guy to, like, fix it? Can he see that this thing is going south and can he step in there and change it rather than doing these press conferences where he's like, what'd you think? We're going to be good this year? It's like,
yeah. No, I thought you'd
be
pretty
good. Great. Thought you guys were going to be real good this year.
I thought you'd be much better than you were to this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, some of it's always on the coach. It's down my list. Like, if I have to pick who to blame, the superstar or the coach in the NBA, I'd blame the superstar before the coach on every other team. I'm going to do that with this team as well.
No doubt.
And I do think Tatum coasting through the game, gliding through the game without a care, taking his time getting into it, that sets the tone for the whole team. How you play defense, how you get out on Dylan Brooks, giving the Rockets a feeling like they're in the game. Like, hey, we're not going to run you out of the building. We're in the game. We're getting comfortable. Dylan Brooks sees it go through the hoop 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Just lighten it up.
I think those are all correlated, but maybe you think we're being too harsh on Tatum. You can jump in on that as well. It's 617-779-7937.
Do you put any, like, as the game's going on, I feel like we've brought this up in playoff games where Tatum's been pretty passive. You're the coach. Like, maybe also dial it up and be like, hey, guys, like, I know I'm letting you kind of do your own thing here for a little bit, and I trust you guys overall, but, like, on this possession, we're going to free up Tatum, or we're going to dial something. Not, like, just ISO shot, but, like, we're going to do something to get him going. Normally, we don't have to, because he can usually get his points on his own type of thing, but maybe you step in and be like, all right, I've seen enough, you know, Tillman shots for the rest of the game.
Yeah, just send that message. So I agree with that. I do think you know, the plays at the end of the game, I would just chalk those up to Udoka out-coaching Mazzulla. So I guess that's Mazzulla, a red flag for Mazzulla. But, like, the play for Sengun, it's Cornette ISO'd up on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't do much all game long. But I don't really necessarily blame Mazzulla for that, per se. It's a good play by Udoka. But you are getting out-coached by the guy on the other side. Amen Thompson just shook the crap out of Jaylen Brown.
Man.
On that final possession.
He's a player.
How good do you think they are, the Rockets?
I think they are a overachieving team that is maybe more so than any other team in the NBA. Actually, more so than any other team in the NBA is getting the most possible out of their roster. So I would say they're good. I don't view them as a title contender.
Me neither.
But whatever that next tier is, they're there.
Yeah, nightmare team to play.
Yeah, you don't want to play them.
They're chock full of young, athletic players. You know, Thompson, chief among, he was very impressive last night. I'm not pretending to watch a ton of Houston Rockets games. Like, he was jumping off the screen to me. So
first round matchup right now, and I know there's the stupid play in 7, 8, 9, 10, but if they just played the 7 seed, it'd be Rockets-Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'd take Houston in that series.
Maybe not.
So I think that's a high-effort team that is just a nightmare to play in the regular season.
I mean, the Celtics just smoked them a week ago.
Yeah, they're probably a year or two ahead of schedule right now. It's a team you got to watch out for in future seasons, but that's the exact kind of team that gets the Celtics these days. A team that's high-effort, all effort. They're going to try. They're not going to give up. When they're down 12, they're not going to hang their heads. They're not going to quit. They're not going to roll over and die. And that's a nightmare for the Celtics these days. Would the Rockets beat the Celtics in a 7-game series? I wouldn't pick it.
I don't think so.
But it underscores the Celtics just expecting they can show up and win games. And I think that starts with Tatum. Mazzulla's on the list. What's your concern level with the Celtics? Are you closer to me and Keith, who are concerned? This team is nowhere near our expectations. Or are you at the other end of the spectrum, Wiggy, who I think he needs them knocked out of the playoffs before he even starts to sweat.
Oh, literally, they need to lose. He was so just like, there's nothing to see here. They're fine. Who's going to beat them? Everything's great. He's like, didn't he say they're still going to win 60 games? I was like, they better get going.
I did the math earlier. I think they're on pace for 53, 52, something like that.
Yeah, they need to change the pace.
So they're going to have to elevate that quite a bit. I know a lot of you are concerned. We'll hear from you all day long here on Jones and Keith. We'll get into the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll get into some of the introductory press conferences yesterday for new coaches around the NFL.
Yeah, you still like Liam Cohen?
Including one, a very prominent guy that I propped up.
That was your guy.
I do like him.
Yeah?
Wouldn't say he had a very good introductory press conference. That era might already be over in Jacksonville. So we'll get to that coming up. We also have thoughts on Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid. The better coach, it's a lot closer than Patriots fans want to acknowledge. So we'll get to that coming up as well. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. And then let's play a game. What if Ime Udoka was still here with the Celtics? How different would they look? How many titles would they have? Would they even have a championship? We'll get to that.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen. And here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Joe, at the end there, that last play, it seemed like Luke and Jalen were in a switch.
No. Those last two plays were on me. Those were my fault. It didn't put us in the best matchups. I saw the play that they were trying to run. I tried to, change the matchups to put our guys in a tough spot. So, that's a tough one because I thought our guys played, did everything to win the game, and they put us in position to win it, and I didn't help them at the end. So that's both those plays, 100% on me.
What do you think Mazzulla was doing there?
He's not blaming any of the players. That's one thing he's been pretty consistent with. He's not burying anybody. He's not going Bruce Cassidy. He's not going, Jim Montgomery. He might feel differently off mic, but on mic, he's, putting the blame on himself. He's kind of lowering expectations. He's doing all that stuff. I think he feels like you're not going to get the most out of these guys if you rip them.
So I give him credit for falling on the sword.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, those two plays are on me. That's not an easy thing to say, to get in front of a microphone and say a loss is on me. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing to say. So I give him credit for that. And I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to fall on the sword to prevent any criticism for the players. So I give him credit for that. But then take a step back. Why is he worried about any criticism on the players? Because they can't handle it. Because they're sensitive to it.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's a little too close to the truth. And why is he falling on the sword? Like, what's the need to fall on the sword
there?
Well,
it's a sensitive group,
is it not? It's commendable. No,
100%. Yeah.
But I think, again, when you talk about what's off with the team and why they're not playing well, and can we all just acknowledge they're not playing well? You might still think they're going to raise banner 19 and there's no problem and nothing to be concerned about. But let's acknowledge the team is not where you thought it would be with more losses at home than a year ago.
They're like 25 wins off their pace, whatever it was from a year ago.
As many blown fourth quarter leads as they had a year ago already. It's not even February yet. It's not even the All-Star break. Not even the trade deadline. They are one away from double-digit blown leads they had a year ago. There's all these metrics. And they're way off pace for where they were at even a year ago. They're worse than you expected. If we can all start there, then we can have a real conversation about the Celtics. And I just think Joe's fallen on the sword for a reason. I'm not telling you I know what that reason is. Maybe it's because the room is sensitive. Maybe because he understands how fragile it really is with how they're playing right now. But there's a reason he did that last night.
I just think it is maybe the nature of professional sports today. Who called out the players recently? Let's see. Gerard Mayo called him soft. Does he have a job? No. Jim Montgomery called out Pastrnak at times. Does he have a job? No. Bruce Cassidy called out Jake DeBrus. Does he have a job? No. Joe Mazzulla called out nobody. Still has a job. It might just be job security. Might be part of it. Another stat I stumbled upon. They have 6 losses in the month of January. They also lost 6 games in the month of December. They never lost 6 games in a month all of last year. Just 6 losses. Doesn't mean like you can still have a big-time winning record. They were the Celtics are 8-6 in December, 8-6 in January.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're definitely worth, like, I'm with you. You can't have a conversation and be like, they're the same as they were last year. It doesn't mean they can't still win the whole thing, right? There are teams that aren't the number one seed that win the title. I mean, for years and years and years, I don't even know how many times LeBron in Miami or Cleveland was the number one seed. I don't think they prioritized that. There were years that the Atlanta Hawks or the Detroit Pistons or teams like that or the Bulls would be better in the regular season.
Isaiah Celtics, yeah.
Great point. Those teams would be the number one seed. Same with the Spurs and Tim Duncan. I can't imagine they were the number one seed every year they won it because they would rest Tim Duncan. They'd do all this stuff. And then they'd pull it together. So I guess the question is, this team won a title, so do you say
they're good?
All set. All set. They're tested. They proved that they could do it, so you don't need to even worry about the regular season.
I think you need more than one championship to start carrying yourself like LeBron.
That's me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I misspoke. I don't think it was the Isaiah year. I think it was the Kyrie year, actually, where they were the one seed.
Oh, yeah, probably not the Isaiah year.
I thought they had...
Actually, let me double check.
Yeah, check that out. Because there was a year where they were the one seed, and I remember saying that whole postseason. It's like, oh, the Celtics are defending home court. I'm like, no. LeBron will come here and beat you in Game 7. Don't go to a Game 7. I think that might have been the first Kyrie year when Tatum was a rookie, I think.
Let's see.
But regardless, I understand your
finished
point.
Finished first, Keith, in the Eastern Conference, yeah, in 2017.
I understand your point. LeBron got to a point where it's like, home court doesn't matter. He's going to rip your guts out.
Yeah.
But how far into LeBron's career was that, and how many titles had he won?
They were 53-29. So 50, like, that was a bad, I mean, 53 got you the number one seed. And then LeBron and Toronto were both 51. There's only three 50-win teams that year. But that was the Celtics in 17, lost in the conference finals with Isaiah Thomas. Then they upgraded the following year when they got Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Look, I don't think you can start acting that way, but clearly the Celtics think they can.
That's what it's been.
That's how I would feel.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, we were critical of Tatum, both of us, and I agree with this 1,000%. The way Tatum started that game I thought was embarrassing. I think bad habits set in throughout the entire team. Why does Dylan Brooks get 10 wide-open threes, 10 out of 15 from three?
I was burying him.
Probably because your superstar is floating through the game.
Yep.
Scoreless in the first half, 0 for 5. And he ended up with 19 points, 15 in the third quarter. Guys, did you see the defense they were throwing at him? This is the text line. They were blitzing him. He was getting the ball to other guys for good shots. Then he basically built the lead in the third and fourth quarter. Brown and Drew went 1 for 11 in the fourth, while Brown took a bunch of bad shots.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I would also just say, and I know I'm fixated on this, but getting guys open for good shots, what, like Xavier Tillman 3? That plays into the Rockets' defense. They'll take that every time.
That's not a good shot.
So, like, don't turn into Anthony Edwards. We're making fun of Anthony Edwards. You see him the other day? Apparently, he reached out to Michael Jordan on how to deal with double teams because he's so frustrated with double teams.
Well, we know. After the Celtics beat him, he was bitching about it.
He was like, they're running double teams at me. It's like, yeah, because you're a great player. That's what happens with great players. You need to be able to figure that out. So rather than having if we're going to make fun of guys for complaining about double teams, I'm not going to let Tatum off the hook and be like, yeah, that's why he only had 5 shots. So, like, what, if you just double team Tatum, he's not going to score?
Yeah. Okay. Another good text here. Why do you guys love Mazzulla so much?
I don't know if I do. I mean,
every other coach in this town, you're bashing and running them out of town. Well, some of them were guys who hadn't won squat. Mayo?
I mean, Mayo versus
Monty?
Mazzulla is different.
Okay, but I was at least running Bill out of town, so I'll be consistent.
Also, I don't think we were running Montgomery out of town. We said, all right, it gotten to the point where that's what they were going to do, but we were blaming the players more than him.
Mazzulla versus Bill, you have a fair point, Texter. Mazzulla versus Mayo and Mazzulla versus Monty, no contest. Mazzulla's won. He's proven it. Those guys hadn't. So he gets a little more deference than those guys. And the NBA is different. It's not a coaching league. It's a superstar league. And that's a big factor.
The NFL is completely different. I mean, the NFL is far and away the most important. The other three, I think you could kind of all argue with. Maybe basketball is the second most important. Maybe it's hockey. I can't imagine it's baseball. There's more managing. It's just longer.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of ego stuff, but it's so stat-based. Like, I don't even know if those guys make the lineup. Like, it's just insane.
They don't. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Sam in the van wants to...
Ooh, Sam in the van.
Rip Mazzulla. Go ahead, Sam.
All right, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. I always enjoy you guys, you know.
Thank you.
But I'm a little nervous with the Celtics and is the coach, right? His substitution, he can build a league, see the team, the best players, he leaves them on the bench. You know, and you've got to have your starters, the best players out there to defend against the team.
Okay, so Sam, I disagree with your rotation criticism of Mazzulla. I mean, Mazzulla had Tatum out there the whole second half last night, which I actually thought he stuck with Tatum too long. I was shocked when he started Tatum in the fourth quarter. But whatever, like, I don't really think that's a criticism.
I mean, Tatum and Brown played the whole fourth quarter, so, like, those guys...
Tatum played the whole second half.
Right.
So,
but like, they had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and your two best players never came off the floor, and you lost.
Yeah. So that doesn't fit for last night. I do think Mazzulla got out-coached by Udoka. I think that's totally fair to say.
He's not as good a coach.
And Udoka's a better coach, to your point.
Yeah.
Let's play that out, Keith.
All right.
Udoka never gets fired by the Celtics.
What happened?
He's a respectful employee.
All right, good.
What happened?
He doesn't... Faithful to his girlfriend.
Sure.
Longtime partner.
Right. I haven't heard about Nia Long in a while.
Yeah. And let's just say in a different world, Ime Udoka
great show.
Is still the head coach here.
Yep.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Do they have a title? Do they have multiple championships?
So
do they have zero? Turp brought this up. Is Marcus Smart still here? Would Jaylen be gone? You pull at that thread.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of different outcomes.
Ashton Kutcher butterfly effect.
Exactly.
So I think he's the better coach. I think he gets a lot out of the team. He made the NBA Finals, and then obviously the next year, Missoula gets thrown into it. They win more regular season games that year, but they lose in the conference finals. I think Udoka gets them through to the finals
the next year. The year they lost to Miami.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if they beat Jokic, though, in the finals. So this is what it all comes down to. Does Brad Stevens make the deals that he made? If Porzingis and Drew Holiday, specifically Drew Holiday, is on the team last year, then, yeah, I bet they do win the title with Udoka, and I bet they're, you know, obviously the favorite to win it again this year, and maybe they're not 32-15. Maybe they have a little bit of a better record. You know, Terp's point was Udoka loved Marcus Smart so much that maybe he would have kept Smart.
That's a big strike against Udoka if that's true.
Well,
that makes me rethink my whole stance on him.
Yeah, but
subtracting Marcus was, I think, the key. Maybe people think I overrate this. It was the key to that championship run last year.
Getting
him the hell out of the way was massive.
So if he has the same players as Missoula, I think he wins the title last year. And, you know, the Celtics don't have Drew Holiday 2 years ago because the Bucks and the Lillard thing and all that, that's away from you. You can't really control that, but that doesn't happen until the next year. So I don't know, maybe it's the boring answer, but I think Udoka wins the title last year, maybe makes one more finals. Let's say they lose to the Nuggets, which then forces Brad Stevens to change the roster. I bet he could convince Udoka, like, look, I know you like Smart, but we have an opportunity to get Porzingis and Holiday. I think he would sign up for that.
If they make the finals, though, in your scenario, and they lose to Denver, but they make back-to-back finals,
you think they might keep the team?
Well, they might have talked themselves into keeping the team scenario.
Still haven't won.
So
what are the Bills?
Maybe. That's exactly what I was about to say, Keith. They might be sitting here on three straight finals appearances and no titles. Offense.
That'd be sad.
Udoka is a much younger, handsomer, vital Marv Levy.
But
what he is.
But if they all right, what about this?
He's a much more virile Marv Levy.
Okay. If last year it's a much hornier version of Marv Levy.
I don't know. That Marv was
Marv Levy. They say
the horny man.
Yeah. 99 years.
Marv Albert.
Oh yeah.
The horniest Marv.
I remember hearing about that as a kid and being like, wait, what?
I didn't fully understand that happened? As a kid either. I'm like,
what was he dressed up as? He did what? I mean, he bit her on purpose? And then you grow up and you mature and you're like, maybe he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it all depends on the roster, right? Do they have the same roster? Do they not have the same roster?
How dare you kink shame as an adult?
I'm not now. Yeah, no, yeah, but as a kid, you're just trying to piece it together. Yeah. You know, you're kind of, a lot of information's coming your way.
Sure.
And you're like, the guy that does the games? The guy that announces the games? But he's a legend. He's a legend in the field. I think do they have that same roster? Does Brad Stevens make the same moves that he did? But let's play this one out. If the rest of the league all plays out the same, meaning Donovan Mitchell gets hurt, Tyrese Halliburton gets hurt, you play the Mavericks in the finals, can't he still win it with the Marcus Smart Celtics?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. Probably. I mean,
so there you go. They have one title still.
If Marcus Smart could stay enough out of the way for Jaylen Brown to take over in the Eastern Conference Finals and Finals when
maybe
you're playing a five
series,
seed and everybody's hurt, yeah, probably. Yes.
Maybe each series goes six, but you still win.
So it's an interesting thread to pull out with Udoka. How different would the roster be? Would they have a title? Could they be sitting here with zero championships if he, you know, was on his best behavior while he was head coach of the Celtics?
I also wonder how long, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but how long do they keep that roster intact in Houston? Or do you do what every other NBA team does and you're like, all right, this is a good group, but now we have to get the superstar? Like, do they...
No, that's what I would do with that group.
Yeah, right.
I'm very short-sighted, but that's what I would do. I wouldn't wait for...
It's like the Knicks roster before Carmelo Anthony, right? It's like, there's always like that thing where you're like, well, we're going to win this way, and it's like, no, let's just go get the disgruntled guy from some other team.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy Butler is too old to be... But whoever the next guy is, that's who they need to go get.
Yeah, he's too disgruntled. You need someone...
Too disgruntled and too old. The upside's
not there.
You
need someone more gruntled than him.
Way more gruntled.
He's too disgruntled. You need someone a little more gruntled on that team.
Agreed.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Celtics. What's wrong with them? Is it Missoula? How frustrated are you with Tatum? I think Jaylen Brown over the last couple of weeks gotten a lot of criticism. For me, this game, the Lakers game, Tatum pissed me off in both of them. Plus, Celtics may have a new owner in the mix. They certainly will eventually have a new owner. Is that becoming more clear? We'll get to it with all your Celtics phone calls next.
Here's a little tidbit.
The Celtics, it was the first round of the buyers that they had to cut down all the prospective buyers. And like, I don't know, five people made the first round, four or five people. One of the people was the Eagles owner.
Really?
Jeffrey Lurie, who's apparently from Massachusetts. So because there's been a couple like, I wonder who these guys are. And there was a couple I couldn't figure out, but that's one.
Outkast never did a halftime show, did they?
No, sadly, I don't believe they did.
Andre 3000 did.
Did he? Big Boy did.
When it was in Mercedes, wasn't it?
Big Boy did. I don't think full-on Outkast did. Did they do it separately?
Big Boy was there, you're right, in the Maroon 5 one.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't full Outkast, though, but Big Boy was there.
Gets a little buried. The reason we bring that up will be... The reason we bring it up will be tearing off Super Bowl halftime shows coming up.
Super Bowl halftime since Patriots first Super Bowl. We're not going to do them all. We're not going to do like the old marching bands.
Yeah, no, we're not going back to black and white. We're just going back to, 2001. Patriots go against the Rams. U2. We'll start with that one.
People love U2.
We'll tear off some Super Bowl halftime shows coming up
at
11:30, Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran, high noon. Kiefer Madness scheduled for 12:45. So stay tuned for all of that. I'll tell you, Bill Simmons had a much stronger tweet than what he said on the podcast there about Jeffrey Lurie.
He apparently is from Massachusetts.
He's apparently from Massachusetts?
You either are or you aren't.
That's what people say about Bill Simmons. He's been in L.A. for so long, they're like, he's from Boston.
He was a Boston sports guy.
You'd never know.
Yeah.
But so, all right, that was not as strong as I would have hoped hearing the audio. I saw Bill's tweet yesterday. I hadn't heard the audio until just now.
Jeffrey Lurie.
Apparently from Massachusetts.
That's the word on the street.
His team's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is.
Again.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Lurie. How many times have the Eagles been to a Super Bowl since he's the owner? Four? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Was he there for the
second
Andy Reid one?
Yes. He was there for the first Andy Reid one. He was there for the Nick Foles.
McNabb, Foles, Hurts.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty good.
You know, four Super Bowl appearances on his watch.
One win.
One title so far?
Yeah.
TBD.
Well, we'll
moving
see.
Moving forward.
I think the league's got it in the bag, though, for the Chiefs. So.
He tried to buy, the Patriots way back in the day. He was in the bidding with Robert Kraft. He's tried to buy a number of franchises before he got the Eagles.
The cold seats?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
No one's a bigger Patriots fan than him. But
so this is, I think Jeffrey Lurie would be a good owner for the Celtics. And it's as simple as this.
The only drawback I can see, I'm sorry to jump in. The only drawback I can see is I got to have the Eagles owner in my face, which I don't love.
No.
I don't love the Philly connection.
You think he'll be more hands-on than Wick's dad?
Yeah, I would hope.
That guy was a ghost. I would hope,
but I think that's a name I never would have thought of. I was aware he was from Boston,
right?
Unlike Bill Simmons, but I never would have thought of him, but that's a pretty good fit, I would think. Like, I'd feel better about him than Pags. I'd feel better about him... Then
Fenway Sports Group. I mean, good lord.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely than John
close.
Henry.
Even Robert Kraft, you feel better about.
Do you feel better about him than like Bezos?
So Bezos is kind of a wild card. Probably not. Bezos, I feel like, would just dump a ton of money into it and like not think twice.
Like Larry Ellison is another name that comes up from Oracle.
But at least
you know Lurie can operate and will invest in a sports franchise. You don't know that with Bezos.
I don't know what Bezos would do with the team. Would he be like Mark Cuban, be at every single game and like a hands-on? Probably not, but you don't know. Like Steve Ballmer, would he like take a team on like Steve Ballmer, or would he just be like, that's one of the many things that I own and let the guys run it? So Jeffrey Lurie has run a successful Eagles team, and I just looked this up because I think this is very important. The cash spending, active cash spending right now, I went to overthecap.com. The Patriots famously are dead last.
Yeah, they're
they
not so hot.
They don't spend
at that.
A lot of money on the team.
No. Despite what people tell you,
they did
don't
sign on Wenu.
Uh-huh.
Best tackle in the free agency
class.
They
paid Jelani Tavai. We love that guy.
The Philadelphia Eagles spend twice as much on their team as the Patriots.
Nice.
So this salary cap league where you can only spend so much and we spend up to the cap. Actual money spent, Jeffrey Lurie has invested for this season twice as much as the Patriots.
Do you think maybe there's a correlation between the Patriots playing like ass since Tom Brady left and the Eagles being in two Super Bowls in the last 4 years? Do you think there's any tie in there?
I can't think of anything.
So two in the last three? Two in the last three, excuse me.
So Jeffrey Lurie has had three different head coaches make the Super Bowl, three different quarterbacks make the Super Bowl. And I know he's only won one, but they're competitive year in and year out. And to me, it's just more the commitment, because the scary thing is the next owner going to come in here and be like, we got to get rid of Porzingis and Holiday or whatever? Like, we're not making as much money as we can be because the salary or the contracts are so high. Do you need somebody that says, yeah, we want to keep the team being an NBA title contender, so we know we're going to have to spend into the luxury tax? And I feel like based on what he's doing with the Eagles, I think he would do that with the Celtics.
I think he'd be – I'd feel real good about Jeffrey Lurie. Maybe it's not top of my list, but I'd feel real good about it. And it's better than, again, Pags, because you know Lurie has money and can do it. It's better that Pags is very, very rich. Is he rich enough to sustain what the Celtics have going on? I'm not sure. Lurie's proven the investment. So you have the NBA, or the ownership, rather, sale looming over everything going on with the Celtics, who struggle on the floor. We'll get back to your phone calls. Mike is in Brockton. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I have a statement, but I also have a question for you guys at the end. But my concern with them right now is their lack of physicality. And if you look at some of the games they lost, Memphis, Cleveland, they got beat up, and they're not very physical right now, and it's affected them on rebounds. It's affected them defensively, and those teams that beat them are just beating them up. I think that's the.
So, Mike, I agree. I agree, and we saw that with the Rockets last night. What's your question for us?
Yes, exactly. Yes, but the question I have with you guys is, you talked about it last week. I listened to you guys, and there was a statement that Jaylen Brown did not take any press conferences for like a while, which I even realized that. So you guys said it, but also something else was said that it was like, well, he made a couple statements publicly that he's starting to learn the offense, number one, and number two, his role offensively is not the same. I wonder if any of the beat guys that you guys know have elaborated on that, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so Mike,
changed.
Mike, I think what it is he stopped playing the full first quarter, and Tatum started playing the full first quarter. They've gone back to this, but I think that's what we've deduced he was talking about. His change in role was the rotation,
but I just think also they're making him a little bit more of a playmaker. Like, I think you've seen the assists go up a little bit, but they're also asking him to, you know, not just be a scorer on the wing. I think they're asking him to, like, facilitate the offense a little bit more, which I think he's getting used to. So there's a couple of things that are different from last year.
Yeah, so I think that's what we've honed in on. Jaylen, since he got called out, did start doing media appearances again.
Yeah.
And he was always talking to, you know, Abby Chen on the broadcast, but he wasn't talking to the media after some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be fixed. I'm honing more in on Tatum and his struggles, which, when your superstar's a little soft, maybe you get beat up by more physical teams, as we're seeing, like, the Rockets last night. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your phone calls, and we'll get to Super Bowl 59, Eagles and Chiefs. Let's match up Andy Reid against Bill Belichick. We'll do that next.